The American Immigrant Show with Dr. Spurk is a space where immigrant stories become American stories. Challenges become inspiration, and real life experiences fuel hope, opportunity, and transformation. This show isn't just about surviving immigration. It's about thriving, contributing, and redefining what it means to be an American. Welcome to the American Immigrant Show, where we illuminate the stories of immigrants who are reshaping America through courage, resilience, and purpose. I'm your host, Dr. Dennis Burke, and today we're diving into an inspiring journey of reinvention and perseverance. Our guest, Dr. Julio Quintero. He is a board-certified neurologist serving patients in both English and Spanish at Intercoastal Medical Group in Sarasota, Florida. His paths span Bogota, Georgetown University, Columbia University, and now a respected medical career in the U.S. His story represents the determination so many immigrants carry arriving here with dreams, only to discover they must rebuild from the ground up. Today, we begin with a topic that resonates deeply across our immigrant community: what it truly means to restart your medical journey from zero in a new country. This segment explores the emotional, professional, and cultural hurdles immigrant physicians face, often feeling like their years of training don't count, and yet continuing forward with extraordinary grit. Dr. Quintero, welcome.
Thanks.
To the American Immigrant Show. It's truly great to have you.
Yes, pleasure being here.
So many viewers feel the same fear and frustration arriving with the credentials and dreams, yet being told they must they must begin again. Obviously, because outside the United States, the educational system is different in medicine and other professions. And so this segment unpacks the emotional toll, the system's challenges, and the quiet courage required to build a medical career in an unfamiliar world. The audience today, Dr. Quintero, are very intrigued by your journey in medicine, and they are interested in a series of questions that I have for you. The first question, Dr. Quintero, is: what was the hardest part about restarting your medical path when you first came to America?
Okay, the first part was to learn the language, because I just 1 year before I came here, I didn't know English. So then I was 27 when I learned English. And then at 28, I was already at Georgetown doing the neurology residency. So I did it fast, but it took some effort. So that was the first part of the trip.
Yes. And so did you feel like all your years of training from Columbia didn't really count that much here?
I mean, in my case, they did count, because I didn't do the specialty in Columbia. I did med school in Columbia. Then when I came here to the U.S., I was able to take some tests to validate the med school. And then with those results, I was able to apply to training in residency in neurology. And that's what I did at Georgetown in Washington, D.C.
And how did you decide to pick neurology?
Okay, so that also comes even from high school times, because when I was in high school, I attended a technical high school. And as part of that, I became an electrician. The last 4 years of the high school, because that is about 6 years, we call it high school, we do like one day and a half of the week focus on that technical component. And the other 3.5 days are the typical other subjects like chemistry and physics and the other ones. And because of that, I learned waves and cables, how they work, and engines and wiring. And I was able to record waves in an oscilloscope. And then when I went into neurology, I'm medicine first, and I did neuroanatomy. There were similarities, because the brain is a station and cables come out. We call them nerves. So there was kind of a connection there. So when I was in the first year of med school, the second half, the second semester, I learned neuroanatomy, and I fell in love with neuroanatomy at that time. Then after that, I did neurophysiology, and I loved it more, and that was the beginning.
So, you know, in the early years when you were first challenged to learn English, and then, of course, the studies are rigorous for medical school, how did you stay motivated, like with a process that is, for a lot of people, is long, slow, and could be difficult to deal with? You know, how did you cope and stay motivated?
You know, I mean, the hardest part is to be away from the family, and I was the only person from my family here in the U.S. And I first came to Boston when I learned English, and it was in the winter. So, and I hadn't seen snow in my life before that. So then that was a big change, you know. And I was alone and walking around, doing my things, taking the tests. And then when I started at Georgetown, the same. So that's the part that was harder. But then over time, you just get busy doing the work. And being a doctor, I knew what was coming. And I knew there were several years to come before I would be able to practice. And then you just get entertained by what you do every day, and you just keep up with work and meeting friends, and over time it gets easier.
I know from speaking to you in the past that you've helped a lot of other doctors who have the same drive, hunger, and passion to achieve and become great physicians. And they too may well be in another country outside the United States. So, you know, what are the steps immigrant doctors can take to build their medical careers in the U.S.?
So that I have been doing, helping students from Latin America come here, from Colombia and other countries. I have like two or three students from other countries. I go over like what they need to do first, which is to take those tests. I said they are called USMLE, United States Medical Licensing Examination. And they could be taken like even halfway through med school, and then the second one at the end. So there is timing to it and the preparation. And there are certain websites that people can go and study. So I guide them how to do it. And also the interviews, how they go and what they should focus on. And maybe depending on each person, what place they would like to apply to. So I guide them through the process. But the first is to take the test and pass them, and to be able to speak English and communicate with patients. So then they go through that process first.
And so what would you say to individuals watching who they want to become a doctor in the United States, but they've become discouraged? They just feel it's too much to get started. What would you suggest to them to stay on top, stay encouraged?
They're like in business, the higher the risk, the more the outcome or what you can make. The same here. So if you put the effort, there will be a reward. Like I was rewarded, and I am doing very well. And so there is something at the end of the road that is good for you. So the effort is worth.
So coming up, we will dig into the long and often exhausting road to becoming a doctor in America, and why the process challenges even the most determined professionals. Stay tuned.
Search for Now Media Television on the App Store or Google Play Store. Download our free app and enjoy live streaming of all Now Media TV channels, along with on-demand content, anytime, anywhere. Now Media Television, the first bilingual media network.
Wow. Welcome back to the American Immigrant Show. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS for non-stop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. Prefer audio or audio? Listen to the podcast version anytime at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to culture and human stories, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to the American Immigrant Show. We're here with Dr. Quintero, and now we're shifting into one of the most grueling realities many immigrants face, the long, expensive, emotionally demanding road to becoming a licensed doctor in America. For many viewers, this journey feels impossible, overwhelming, and deeply lonely. This segment explores the years-long process, exams, residency applications, costs, cultural barriers, and the mental stamina required to stay the course. For many immigrants, this phase determines whether their dream survives or collapses. Can you explain, Dr. Quintero, what the journey looks like for an immigrant who wants to become a doctor in the U.S.?
Okay, it starts by you wanting to be a doctor here, meaning you need to put all the effort, and that requires a lot of sacrifices, as always. When you want a reward, you need to sacrifice. And first, again, the language, and it comes to studying, so you can have the basics. You need to have the knowledge to what you are trying to do is to be equal to med students that complete med school in the U.S. So when you start a residency program, you want to be at their level or higher. And by doing that, then you will be successful.
And what would you say initially are the biggest challenges you have to overcome because of cultural, language, and study skills and methods of understanding what's to be done? What would you say for you were some of those biggest hurdles?
Yeah, I mean, after you take the test, let's say you study, you pass the test, the United States Medical Licensing Examination, and you learn English, you apply to the interviews, and you were accepted, okay? So that's one thing. Now you are going to start residency. So first time you go into a hospital to be working for the hospital and training, and you get paid. So that's good. You get paid to be trained, okay? Because you are not doing med school, you're doing residency now. The first part is that you meet all these people that are already here. Some might be like you, but many of them are already here. They did med school here. They know the system, so you need to catch up. Then, like in my case, I had never seen a patient in English. So I had to learn how to interact with the patients. And one thing that was a little hard at the beginning was to learn the abbreviations they use here. Everything they make it shorter, and they use only the initials or the names of the diseases. And in Colombia, where I am from, we use the entire word. For example, we don't say CHF, we say congestive heart failure in Spanish. And so that when we're doing rounds with the other doctors, they start using those terms, and it's good that you learn English, but I had never practiced medicine in English, so that part takes a little time to adjust. Mm. But it comes along and you quickly adjust to it.
So given how you explained to me about the various challenges in interpretation of terminology, English, and maybe how you were accustomed to in Spanish, I would imagine that, you know, that weighed on you, maybe added some stress to your life. And so I'm just wondering how you stayed mentally strong during those years of study and testing and interviews. And at the same time, it's a very long wait to get to the finish line and become a fully fledged licensed doctor.
I guess, like anything else that is big, everything starts with a dream, okay? So I had a dream, so I always thinking of the future. So I had in mind always that being a doctor, being the attending, the professor, seeing patients, having your own practice, your own clinic. So that's always in your mind. And by having that dream, you go through the effort because the hours are long. And again, you are trying to do it in a different language. And where I trained in Washington, D.C., patients were from all countries because we had all the embassies. So you have to also deal with that. And sometimes we have to use interpreters to see the patients. And the first year is harder because the internship. So you are learning how to see patients here, even the med students from here. It's hard for them, for everyone. By then, after like a couple of months, you kind of are at the same level and you are all working hard. And it just, if you, you just to be resilient and continue to do the work.
And so I can tell that on your journey, you met a lot of other fellow immigrants from other parts of the world, and they shared a lot of the same desires as you did. But what would you say mistake? What are the mistakes that immigrant doctors should avoid on their journey to becoming a doctor?
I mean, I would say a mistake would be that you give up, that you don't work hard enough, that you don't do well on the test, and that you are not on time for things. So mistakes are just logistic practicality. Here, if you do what you are required and you are on time and you are work hard, then there shouldn't be a problem. The mistake is if you start to give up and start to do less or to stay behind the colleagues, and then that people will notice pretty soon.
And Dr. Quintero, when you finally get through all the studies, pass all the exams, and maybe get some good sleep and rest after all those late nights being in hospitals, taking care of patients, what does it feel like eventually when you get your license and you're officially a doctor?
You know, that's very rewarding. I mean, it's like, I guess similar to winning the lottery when someone does their goal to have a lot of money, like that. So it's a life-changing. So when you actually get the diploma or you get a certificate saying that you met all the criteria, I did it more than once because I became a doctor first. So I got my diploma to be a medical doctor. And then I got another one to be a neurologist. And I also did fellowship. So when I did the subspecialty, that was in New York, then I also had another diploma. So every moment is different, but the first one is pretty unique, especially the one in Colombia when you become a doctor. And then when I came here and finished residency, I did 4 years, one internship and 3 years of neurology. At the end of that, that's pretty important. That was the one that I first got in a different language and in the place where I was to work in the future. So that makes a big change in your life.
Mm-hmm. And were you the first person in your family to sort of break free and, you know, take on the American dream and then accomplish something as amazing as becoming a medical doctor?
Yes, I was. So I was the first person. And at this time, I am still the first one that decided to leave the country. And I was successful. And I, you know, I didn't go over all the details with my parents or my mother in this case, and my brothers, sisters, through the process. I just told them that things were going well, but I enjoy every moment myself. And I went to Colombia on vacation every year, and we went over things, but never into too much detail about the academics or the awards, things like that. I did get some awards during the training also. Like at the end of each year, the students can decide, or they kind of give a reward to the resident in training that was best to them. So I won those awards a few years. So all that is rewarding, and those are the things that keep you going. So that's more of the that little, like the little engine that could. It keeps you working and trying to do more and be more successful.
And so, Dr. Quintero, if viewers want to learn more about your work or connect with you through your practice, where can they reach out to you?
Yes, so I work for the Intercostal Medical Group, and again, I am a neurologist, epileptologist, and sleep doctor, and I can be found on the website, of intercostalmedicalgroup.com, and there are pictures of the doctors, their names, and you can click on the link and you get details, and there is a phone number to call.
So Dr. Quintero, thank you very much for your great insight about the journey and becoming a doctor here in America, especially since you were born outside the United States and so many other people want to follow the journey and the dream of becoming a medical doctor. They just don't have the, maybe the right confidence, the right guidance, the right leadership. And you have provided the dream idea, the footprint here today to be able to demonstrate that it's possible. It's not the first time that someone did this and you have accomplished it. And I want to congratulate you very much.
Thanks very
for
much.
For that. Coming up, we explore emotional challenges of balancing two cultures. The one you left and the one you now serve. Stay tuned.
Search for Now Media Television on the App Store or Google Play Store. Download our free app and enjoy live streaming of all Now Media TV channels, along with on-demand content, anytime, anywhere. Now Media Television, the first bilingual media network.
Welcome back to the American Immigrant Show. In this segment, we shift into the deeply personal side of the immigrant physician experience, balancing two cultures while trying to build a meaningful life in the US. Many viewers know the feeling of belonging everywhere and nowhere at the same time. We highlight the internal tug of war immigrants face, culture, pride versus assimilation. Identify versus expectation, and the emotional challenge of staying rooted while adapting to a new world. Dr. Quintero, welcome back. How did you balance your identity, being proud of where you came from, while building a new life in America?
Okay, so you are always the person you are, and being a neurologist, I understand that well. So your brain always will keep your background. I always be Colombian, and now I am American, so I had the two citizenships. But you can mix the two. And what I did in my life, I incorporated another nationality. I married a Dutch woman, a woman from the Netherlands. So we have an international home. So we are an international family. So we learn from other cultures, and we try to enjoy life as it is.
Dr. Quintero, did you ever feel pressure to change yourself to fit into American medical culture?
I mean, more than pressure is just that I live here, so I need to accommodate and adjust to the culture in the US. The same when I go to other places, I try to accommodate even when I am there for only weeks. So it just comes as a transition. And you know, when I am in Colombia, I feel different. When I am here, I feel different. I kind of adapt.
And how do you honor your culture while serving patients from many different backgrounds?
Yeah, so you always find Hispanic patients, even patients from here, many of the patients, they like that I am Colombian. They like the accent. They like me telling them stories about Colombia and how the training is there and here. So it actually helps. It has helped me more than giving me problems, because it creates topics to talk about.
And what helps immigrants, in your opinion, stay grounded in who they are?
Yeah, I think that it's more about you keep your culture and you still enjoy the dishes, the music, everything that you came from, you need to continue to enjoy. And of course, keep in touch with the family. And then you also do the same here. So I think that you keep it all balanced.
And since you know the challenges on both sides, What message do you have for viewers who feel caught between two worlds?
Then I think that we just, again, continue to live and to adjust to the situations and to enjoy every day and every moment and to do what pertains to the moment and to the questions that are being asked or the task that is being performed.
So I appreciate your timely responses. And up next, how immigrant professionals can earn respect and credibility in highly competitive fields, even when the odds aren't in their favor.
Search for Now Media Television on the App Store or Google Play Store. Download our free app and enjoy live streaming of all Now Media TV channels along with on-demand content anytime, anywhere. Now Media Television, the first bilingual media network.
Welcome back to the American Immigrant Show. Don't miss a second of this show or any Now Media TV favorite. Stream live or on demand anytime. Download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS for bilingual programs in English and Spanish. You prefer podcasts? Listen to American Immigrant Show anytime, www.nowmedia.tv. News, business, lifestyle, culture, we're on 24/7 so that stories you care about are always within reach. Welcome back. As we move into our final segment, we look at the powerful and universal challenge, earning respect in a world where immigrants often feel unseen, underestimated, or doubted. This is where personal excellence, resilience, and authenticity become the tools that speak louder than any barrier. This segment uncovers the quiet barrier professionals face, earning trust, proving competence, navigating bias, and rising through perseverance. Dr. Quintero, the audience has several other topics that they would like answers for. And I'm going to pursue this with some questions. First, what challenges did you face gaining respect as an immigrant neurologist in the U.S.?
I think the respect just comes by doing the things the way they should be done and doing what is right and being the best trained neurologist you can be. So by following the guidelines, staying up to date on all the knowledge in neurology and in medicine in general, then it just shows you just do your job. You see patients and you show it by doing it. And like in my case, I haven't required any advertisement or marketing. It's more word of mouth. Patients come and they tell other people and they come to me. And at this point in time, I am booked for months, okay? And that has been the case for a long time.
So I think what you're saying is that respect is earned and you get that respect when you do great work and you deliver on the things you commit to doing and provide the results that the people are wanting. Would you say that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's correct, yeah. So how did you handle moments where you felt overlooked or doubted maybe over the last many years?
Okay. I mean, I have been lucky that way because I haven't had too many experiences where that has happened, okay? But there may have been moments where maybe a patient would be, because I have had good training and I was a professor of neuroanatomy and neurophysiology before I became a neurologist. So meaning when I talk to patients and because I keep up to date, So it's difficult for someone to say, like, they can doubt what I am telling them, anything like that. But they might see it from my point of view, like, what is this Colombian guy telling me what to do, things like that. So, like, one time in the hospital, one patient was telling me, like, because we were talking about trips and things like that, like on vacation, he was telling me, like, it seems like you are making too much money for who you are because you can go on those trips, things like that.
Mm.
And that was the only time, like, I was like, okay, so that is the case. So, and so I probably earn it.
So you might have been making some judgments without knowing all the details, is that correct?
Yeah, like that.
Yeah. And so you just there mentioned that you are a professor. Can you elaborate more on where you taught, what you taught, and, you know, on your topic, basically?
Yeah, so what I learned is by going to conferences, to meetings, to stay up to date. I learn online. I keep up with the articles. I have some websites. I get emails, and I click on the link, and I go and review the latest publications, and then I read the headings, and then the ones that interest me the most, then I go in and find the actual article and keep up. And the other way is just by treating patients. You find, especially in the hospital, sometimes in the office, patients that have entities that we don't see as often. So when that happens, then I go and check it online, and there are many ways to do it. Currently, I teach at Florida State University, and I am a professor of clinical sciences. And because of that, I have access to a library that has all the information you can find in the medical field, and I don't have to pay per article. I can just open the article and read it.
And what skills or behaviors have helped you stand out and earn the trust that you have?
I think it's more like being you, being unique, and being just give what you have to give and just stay in your own path and give people some love and compassion and just be yourself. And by doing that, if you have gotten this far, that means like what you have is significant enough that people would appreciate.
And how can immigrants, in your opinion, in a competitive profession, show their value without losing themselves?
I think that as we grow, like in my case, when I finished training, I came to a medical group, the same one I worked for at this point in time. But then as you grow and you learn more, people start offering you other things. So you kind of grow and get other offers, and you like right now I am also a consultant for pharmaceutical companies. Like last week I was in Atlanta for 6 days, and I was chosen like 8 doctors in the whole country to be on the advisory board for this company, and I was meeting with the professors at the big academical centers, so I was placed in the board at the same level as they are to give opinions and advice to this company for the medication that will be coming in a couple of years. So see, you just show who you are, put the effort, keep up to date, and I have never requested or solicited any of this. They just come to you just by what you have been doing. You grow your own life and your own practice, and people find
you. But I also think you have an amazing personality, and you're entertaining with the patients. You make people comfortable, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, so I try to make people feel like people and loved and rewarded and that they matter. And, you know, I want them to get better and to do well.
And so what story from your journey shows that respect can be earned over time with heart and hard work?
Yeah, like, I mean, there may have been, you know, like one time I had the patient that came and again, maybe because I was Colombian or maybe the accent or maybe something happened that he was, and maybe the first time he was kind of hesitating, but after we talked for a few minutes, then he understood that I kind of knew what I was talking about. Then I offered him some tests, and he had been seen at different, he had been to different academic centers, big hospitals in the country. And he came to me because someone mentioned, but initially he wasn't that convinced. So anyway, by doing the testing and all that, I proved to him that I knew what I was doing, and I diagnosed him right. And I made him better. And even the wife brought me a present afterwards and things like that. And she came to hug me in the office and showed their expression of content from what I had done. So things sometimes might go like that, but ultimately, if you stay in your path and you show who you are and you keep the good studies and compassion and all the things that we have mentioned, it comes back. I mean, it's like anything in life, you know, truth comes out at some point.
Dr. Quintero, this has been very incredibly valuable. Where can people follow your work and continue this conversation?
Yeah, so I am not into like media, so because again, I don't need it. I am busy and I am a family man, so I dedicate a lot of time to my wife and two children. Because of that, it's not like I can tell you go on YouTube or go here or there. The only way to find me is to go on the website for the medical group I work for, Intercoastal Medical Group, or you can check at the FSU, Florida State University website, and my information will be there. And they have a phone number and links to the group.
Dr. Quintero, thank you for sharing your remarkable journey. Truly amazing. One marked by courage, discipline, humanity, and deep commitment to service. Today's conversation reminds us that immigrants rebuild not only their careers, but their entire identities, all while enriching this country with talent, compassion, and resilience. To our viewers, whether you're restarting your career, navigating two cultures, or fighting to be seen in your profession, let this story remind you that persistence matters, identity matters, and your journey is worthy. Thank you for watching The American Immigrant Show. I'm Dr. Dennis Burke. Join us next week as we continue exploring the stories shaping America's future.